folks. You know, I wrote in my notes here, I said late night ads. I was going to talk about late night ads. I go to bed at 9:30. I don't even know what's on at late night ads. And I wrote there, late night ads. What I do know is that the stations that I watch in the evening, which is before 9:30, is they show these ads from the American Society of Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. And if you've seen it, you've seen these poor little dogs. You know, they have these poor little dogs that they are, I mean, they're really sad, and they show the story of those poor little dogs. And I'm going to tell you what, it touches my heart. It touches my heart because I think, how could anybody be cruel to a little dog? That's me. I'm just me and how I am on that. And I looked at those dogs, and I was just thinking this past week, I was just looking at that, and I said, you know, I'll bet you there's some little dogs that have never known love. Never known love. And then I got to thinking about it. I know that, you know, most of us have known love in some way, somewhere. I understand that. But I also wonder if sometimes what happens to us when, you know, the things start going bad, that we wonder, does God love me? Does God actually love me? Because the thing is that, you know, when you have the things that happen to you, now the things that have happened to me are minor. I mean, they're somewhat of a joke. I had back surgery, no big deal. I did get sick after I was just about to ride my bicycle and didn't do that for over a month because I got this flu or whatever it was that I had for a long time. Oh, yeah, I did get pink eye. Yeah, those are minor, folks. Those are minor things. I know that because I read the prayer request. That for some of you, you've got things that are going on that are so hard to deal with that I could imagine that you might think, does God even think of me? Does he actually love me at all? And I thought, I need to tell people just how much God loves them. Because I tell you the truth, there are bad things that happen to everybody. I don't, you know, I think that you can go to a church. There's probably churches out there that say, if you come to our church, nothing bad will ever happen to you. Don't believe it, folks. It doesn't happen that way. Bad things happen to everybody. Good things happen to everybody. Good things and bad things. And whether you go to church or you don't go to church, you're going to have good things and you're going to have bad things happen to you. But what I wanted to say today is, though, I know that God loves you. I mean, I'll tell you this. God loves you whether or not you go to church. He doesn't love you more because you go to church than he loves you if you don't go to church. So understand this. So let's start at the beginning so I can tell you the story of God's love. God created mankind as the crown of his creation so that he could fellowship with him. When God created us, created human beings, he created us so that he could fellowship with us. Now understand, how did he do this? You see, God made an object of his love. That's what he was doing. When he created you, he was making an object of his love. That's what happens with parents. They make an object of their love. And we are created in God's image. And even within us, there's a desire for us to have children. Why? Because we create an image of our love. After God created all of the stuff, he created us and all of the stuff, and realize he put everything in order, and man was created on the sixth day. Why was he created on the sixth day? Because he got everything in order. He got the water in order. He got the fish in order. He got the animals in order. He got the plants in order. He got all the stuff in order, and then he created us because it was all prepared for us at that time. That tells you of his love. You have children, you know what you do? Before that child is born, the parents typically go in and paint the bedroom. They buy the stuff. In fact, typically children have more stuff than they can use by the time they're even born. Because parents, and if not parents, grandparents will do it anyway. And so what happened is God created everything. And it says in Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was the evening and the morning, the sixth day. He made everything. He rested on that next day. Why? Because everything that he had done is completed. And God is such a God that in his love that he made everything good, and it's exactly how he should have made it because he's a holy God. Now, holiness is not sitting in a dark room praying. That's not what holiness is. I think that we think that sometimes. But holiness is a complete separation from evil. There was no way God would make something bad. He didn't make something bad. Now, something may turn bad, but God doesn't make it bad. And this is part of God's character. He is holy, and he's always going to be holy. He's always going to be separated from evil. So therefore, he can't create anything that is evil. So holiness cannot exist in the presence of God. If holiness comes into the presence of God, then what's going to happen? God's going to be tainted. He will become unholy. But since God is holy, his commandments are holy. In other words, if God is holy, and he is, and what he says then is what's it going to be? If all that he has is holiness, then everything he says is going to be holy. His commands are holy. And God told man in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, the words there, surely die, means a sentence of death. If you go into a trial room and they say, for example, that we've convicted this guy and the sentence will be whatever it is, but it's death. They don't mean that they're going to go out and do something to them right that very minute. That means that there has been a sentence of death that has been put on them. And so there was a sentence of death. Now, death is not about existence. Hear that from me. You see, when somebody passes away, they still exist. We go to the funeral home, don't we? Their body still exists. We go and look at them, and then we typically talk over them and say something like they don't look like themselves, but they're not like themselves right at that point anyway. And so their body still exists. And this is true. Their souls exist, but their souls now are unable to respond to us or respond to anything. That's what has happened to them. Their souls still exist, not in that body anymore, but their souls still exist. See, this is what death really is. Death is that inability to respond. And when we say that they died, Adam and Eve died from that presence of God. God had to separate himself from them. And they died from being able to respond to him in the way that God wanted them to respond to him. See, these people called Adam and Eve decided to test God's commandment. And breaking any commandment is unholy because God is holy and his commandments are holy. So therefore, they introduced unholiness into God's creation. And here's the thing about it is, when they introduced unholiness into God's creation, it went through completely through God's creation. That means it goes through the weather. That means it goes through the earth and the ground and and everything. It's what happened is that they introduced this unholiness, so God's creation became unholy. Now, does it still have a remnant of God's creation, of the holiness? Absolutely. There are absolutely a lot of good things in creation. They're still left over. There's still a lot of good things in people, and they're still left over. But ultimately, we don't have that relationship that God wanted to have with us. And you know what that meant for God? God had a huge problem. You realize God had the problem, not us. See, his love for his creation never diminished. He still loved us. He still wanted to be with us. But the problem is that he couldn't be with us because we were unholy now. See, there's been times my children have done things that I didn't want them to do, things that I really didn't want them to do. But I never stopped loving them. I never stopped wanting to be with them. But there were times when I separated myself from my children. I didn't participate in the things that they were going to do. In fact, there was one time I was visiting one of my daughters, and she was acting in a very, not very good way. And I took the rest of the family and we left. I said, I can't be around you right now, the way you're acting. You see, that's what happened with God. So God wanted to be with his creation, But he couldn't. Now, I know there's a lot of people say, well, God can do anything he wants to. That's not true. You know it's not true that God can do anything that he wants to? He can't. For one of the things, you can look in the Bible. He can't tell a lie. You see? Because what happens when he tells a lie? He becomes unholy. He can't do anything that will cause him to be unholy. So he must stay away from his fallen creation. Yet, we exist. He knows we exist. We're unable to respond to him in the way that he wants us to respond, so that we are dead to him. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And death is the natural response to disobedience to God. Now, here's the thing. I've heard a lot of people say this. They'll say, you know what? I'm as good as the people that go to church. You know what? Here's the truth, folks. There's a lot of people out there that are better than the people in church. I mean, there's a lot of people like that. I mean, I'm not talking about goodness. I'm talking about, do we find any of those people who've never sinned? And we don't find any of those people. Because it says that death sentence was passed on to everybody. And so in Romans 3:23 it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I've done this with children many times. I'll say to them, I said, does that mean your sister has sinned? Oh yeah, I can see a little boy said, yeah, my sister sinned. She's done things that's wrong. And I said, does that mean that your mother has sinned? And they go, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. And I said, for all have sinned. And they say, well, yeah. And then I'll say, does that mean that I've sinned? And they look like the preacher couldn't possibly have sinned. And I go, yes, I have. And are there people better than me outside the church? Yes, there are. Sin is defined then here as falling short of God's glory. What this means is it's falling short of what God has intended for us. See, and we pass that down from generation to generation to generation. And I have that problem as much or even more than possibly than any of you. I may have the problem even worse. So what is the price? Well, a lot of people are still paying that price. See, God had a creation that he loves, but he can have nothing to do with. And he knew this. And so he had a plan from the very beginning. He realized nothing suddenly occurred to him. You can go all the way back to Genesis. And it says, when he was giving the curse that he put on the man and the woman, he said as the woman, he says, your seed. Now understand, not the seed of the man, but the seed of the woman, he says, will crush the head of Satan. He's got a plan from the very beginning. And that... So the price of sin still has to be paid for. What was the price of sin? The wages of sin is death. So it had to be paid. So God gave his son to pay the price of sin. Now realize what that means. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you see how much God loves you? That the price of his own son was not too much to pay. That's how much he loves you. The price of his own son was not too much to pay. How much love is this? Jesus said himself in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You realize that? There's no greater love than laying down your life for somebody else. And what did God do? He took his son and said, that's not too big a price. And what I'll do, you die for them. You die for my creation because I love my creation. And I want to restore that relationship that I could have had with my creation. So God the Son laid down his life to pay for the price for your sin. Now, why did he do this? So that we could have fellowship with him. So that we could enjoy his presence. So that he could treat us as alive again. You know, here's the thing, folks. There have been many people, I mean, very many religious people even, And they'll tell me something along the lines is that I've never really heard from God. I hear this from me, folks. If I've never heard from somebody, I usually don't know them. You know what I talk to you about when you know somebody. When I lived in Nashville, I got to meet a lot of famous people. But you know which ones that I really know? The ones that'll call me back. The ones that'll talk to me. Not the ones that I met sometime and they're just somebody in the group of people. Not someone that I may have had a long conversation with them. I may have had a 45-minute conversation with them. But 1 hour after that conversation, they didn't remember who I was because I have no relationship with them. But God wants to have that relationship with us and to have conversation back and forth. When I was in Costa Rica a few weeks ago, I would ask people this question. If they wanted a personal relationship with God, nearly every person there said yes. And who wouldn't, I thought? Who wouldn't want to hear from the Almighty? Now, is there a catch? Yeah, there's a catch. I'm going to tell you about that. Only those who trust in Him have life. Only those, it says, that those whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. That word believe is a word that means trust. It means to trust in Him. That means that you will put your weight upon Him. That means you will rest upon Him. That means you will not try to stand all the time on your own, but you'll stand on Him. Trusting in Jesus is like resting upon Him. That's what it is. And it results in three things. Trusting in Jesus results in three things. And this is the thing, folks, that the whole world, you know what? If we could get this first one done, we could empty about half of the mental institutions. Half of the mental institutions. First one is the release from guilt. This is what it gives you. A release from guilt. Now recognize what that means. That means that you know that you've done some things that you're sorry that you've done. And you regret those things. But what he's done is he said, I have paid for that. Don't you hold that against yourself anymore. I paid for that. I paid for that sin on the cross. You do not need to hold on to it anymore. You get the release from the guilt from the things that you have done. Secondly, you have no fear in death. No fear of death. And the reason behind that is because you know where you're going. And not only this, and I've seen this so many times, folks. I can't even tell you how many times I've seen it. I have seen when somebody is about to pass away, I've seen them set up in bed. I'm talking about people who have been in comas and stuff. And I've seen them reach out. And I realized when I read that in the scriptures, Jesus said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back for you. And I realized Jesus is coming back for them. And I looked at it and I said, isn't that a picture of the scripture right there? And here's the crazy thing. I've seen this happen over and over again. These people don't know that I have seen this. And they don't know that other people have done the same thing. So how are they doing exactly the same thing? Unless the same thing is happening to them. You see, they're not telling a story and then doing it. They're absolutely doing it because that's what's going on in their life. So they have no fear of death. And the third one is the one that pushed me over the line. I'll tell you the truth. And that is a purpose for life. A purpose for life. Now, here's the situation here, folks. See, a lot of us, we may think that we've got some purpose in our lives. But in reality, that purpose is not transcending. We need something that's bigger than us. We need something that we're walking in and we're continuing to walk in and we're going forward in. And not that, you know, that there's two tragedies in life. And you know what the tragedy is? One is that you never reach your goal. And the second tragedy is you reach it too early. You understand? Well, the thing about it is, I'd rather have my goal is going to walk with Jesus and I continue to walk with Him rather than have me either have something that I needed to get done and I got it done, or the other side of it is have something that's going to just exist here on earth and I never get it done. I get to walk with Jesus, and guess what? I never get over that. I trust Him and walk with Him. Is that all the catch there is? No. There's more catch to it than that. Trusting in Him means that you ask Him to be the Lord of your life. Now, here's what I think a lot of people think. They think that what you're saying then is that you got to do what the church says. No. You're saying that you've got to do what the preacher says. No. I'm not saying that. You've got the relationship with him. You do what he says. You listen to him. You don't have to listen to the preacher all the time. Preachers are wrong sometimes. You know that, don't you? Preachers are wrong sometimes. The church is wrong sometimes. You listen to the Lord himself. He is your Lord. And so you simply do what he asks you to do. And that's what it means to trust in him. So, let me ask this. Would you like to know Jesus personally? You can by trusting in him today. Now, I want everybody to bow their head, everybody in here. And I want you to pray with me. Now, you can pray this whispering it, or you can pray it. You can pray it out loud. I don't care. You can keep it. Just do it in your head. But pray with me this. Lord, I know that I've fallen short of what you wanted for me. I don't want to do that anymore. I want you in my life. I trust in you, Jesus. I am yours.